Are we sending juveniles to life in prison? I mean, how does that work?
They'll send you away. You can't go and fight in a war, but they'll send you away to prison for the rest of your life. And it's unfortunate because, you know, science has proven that, you know, young kids' brains aren't even developed, and yet we punish them for making decisions.
And how old were you when that homicide took place?
I was 17.
17. And by the time you went to trial, you were of age?
Yes, I was of age when I went to trial, 18.
So how many languages did you learn?
So I taught myself Spanish, Italian, and I'm learning Mandarin at the moment, to read and write in Mandarin. So.
That's incredible. That's incredible. And going to school at the same time.
Yes, going to school full-time at University of Baltimore. I'm in the Entrepreneurship Fellows Program.
That's incredibly exciting. Maybe you could talk a little bit about self-respect and how you work with this younger cohort of people to help them have the self-respect that allows them to move their lives in a different area.
Yeah, that's so a lot of times what I do when I go out and do outreach and talk to people in the community, you know, again, like I say, first I listen, just try to see what they go through. But I also understand that most of the young, particularly the young African-American males, grew up in a household where they didn't have a father in the house. And so, you know, and I learned this myself in prison. A lot of times we don't know how to be men. Like, we don't know what it means to be a man, to like to talk about our feelings and stuff like that. So we wear this mask of, you know, this tough guy persona, and it's a defense mechanism, particularly in low-income neighborhoods. So, like, once we get past that, I just, you know, I try to get to know, you know, the people in the neighborhood and see what I can do, anything tangible, like, that I can help them out, whether it's a job or just getting them out of the neighborhood for a while and showing them something different.
One of the things that I've been thinking a lot about lately is this whole concept of a returning citizen,
right?
That we have over 4,000 young men coming back to our city every year,
right?
And they are citizens of our city.
Right.
How did it feel to be a returning citizen, and what can we do to make them successful on a go-forward basis?
Well, part of returning home is it's a terrifying experience because there's so many new things out here, and it was like a learning curve for me. But what's important is having some type of structure for people like myself when we come home. Where do we go to, and like who teaches me about the public transportation system or navigate like society? So you're pretty much on your own to figure it out. And if you don't have that support system, you're likely to go back to do what you used to do.
And that support system could be your family. It could
right.
be Greater Homewood. It
right.
could be Center for Urban Families.
Right. Places like that. And like just sometimes, you know, it's just, you know, it could be like, you know, your churches or just, you know, like family, stuff like that, that people like that would just be helpful.
And what were some of the biggest challenges that you faced in the first 6 weeks when you were coming back as a citizen in our city?
Well, when I came home, I was living on couches. I was unemployed, and I was, you know, technically homeless. And, you know, it was just getting a job, you know, no matter, like, what it was, you know, just trying to find work. So.
And people need to know that was 22 months ago?
22 months ago.
You got two companies. You're going to college.
Yes.
That's exciting. What are you going to be doing in 10 years?
Hopefully have a business empire, you know. That'll be a good accomplishment.
I would be very hard-pressed to bet against you.
Yeah. So I'm thankful, you know, just through the grace of God and just having good people in my corner, which is important.
On the subject of the gangs and the subject of crime in our city,
right.
If you were the mayor or you were the chief of police, what are the things that we can do to make that murder rate go down and
right.
really change the trajectory of crime in our city?
Right. That's a complicated question to answer. So I don't think there's a silver bullet, like one solution for that. But I do think that, like, the gangs and, like, the crime is just a symptom of bigger problems in these communities. And, you know, my philosophy and what I've been doing with my companies is offering people a way out of that lifestyle. So when I do outreach and I talk to young people in the neighborhood that are, like, dealing drugs, I won't get on them necessarily about dealing drugs because they're doing it like to feed their family, but I offer alternatives. Well, what about this? And what about, you know, maybe starting your own business? And a lot of these guys are pretty entrepreneurial. So, you know, for them to see, well, what's my first step? And it's like, well, maybe you can do this and you can do this. And once I have their ear, I can start working with them and offer them a transitional move out of that lifestyle. But you can't save everyone.
So at the end of the day, these folks are making economic choices, rational economic choices.
For the most part, yeah, that's what it's about.
And giving them another path to employment, giving them right. another path to feed their families
right.
is the way that you would start.
That's what I would do. Yes. Yeah. I mean, because if you think about it, if a person comes home from prison, they have this conviction on their record, they have no high school diploma, and they may need these things to get into a good training program or get a decent job. But if society is saying, well, we won't hire you, what are they going to do?